If you have any question, inshallah ta'ala, we can take now. Go ahead. And brothers and sisters on the PAL talk or WASIC, you can send your questions, inshallah. Here is a question. Should it be related to the khutbah or general question? No, general question, no problem. Go ahead. That is from WASIC. You see PAL talk as well. Go ahead, brother, go ahead. What is that? No problem. Fadhil.
Okay, so last week, brother asked you something about giving the money for Ghana.
Yeah.
One for zakat and one for...
We take all, but you need to tell which one is for zakat. Because for zakat, we are going to spend it on the poor people. And those people there are poor. The students are poor, the teachers are poor, and they are for free teaching them. And there are other poor families there. But you need to tell us which is zakah. So we do not put it on the general projects. That doesn't matter. If you have zakah, we take zakah. But we spend it on the zakah way. Because the spending is different. Well, sadaqah means both. As Allah Ta'ala said, Inna sadaqatu lil fuqara. This means zakah, but it is called sadaqah. It is called, all called sadaqah. How could I follow your dars on WASIC? Same thing. I will. We have already registered on WASIC. This room is ours now. And inshallah ta'ala, I will send the schedule. I will send the schedule to all those who are on my email list on and for all at Atman. Okay, Sheikh, I am 18 years old. It says here, I am 18 years old and I veiled legal hijab. Just wait, let me read this. Right. But we study in mixed classes. I wanted to wear niqab, but it's not allowed since I am still studying. So what should I choose, niqab or studying? La niqab. Niqab, you are as a woman, you need to stay, you need to sit in your home, and Allah Ta'ala will bring you a man to marry you, and he is responsible of spendings. So you don't go for free mixing. No. I said it in the college of teachers in Gambia. I said it in the University of Gambia. This is not allowed in Islam. Everyone, the rulings of Islam. Allah Ta'ala will give us yani sustenance if we just be patient and obey Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. You said you want to ask a question? Oh, private, okay. How do I get your email? Ilm for all, let me write it for you. Ilm for all at hotmail.com. When you send the email, you just mention that it is about the schedule of the durus. حياك الله شيخ. My son is 7. The screen doesn't take much. Okay, it says here, my son is 7 and I am trying to implement the hadith about ordering child on 7 to please advise me on how to properly implement this hadith. Well, as the Prophet ﷺ said, muruhum, you command him. But did you work on your child before reaching 7? Rasulullah ﷺ used to pray and he used to carry his granddaughter Umama on his hand. She was only maybe 1 or 2 years old. He used to allow his grandsons Hassan and Hussein to come to the masjid and see. So become familiar. But all those years you did not even bring them to the masjid. You did not pray in the house. Now it be difficult but not impossible. Now you need to encourage him first. Take him with you to the masjid. And when you're coming back, bypass the supermarket or like that, buy him some sweet. He will start loving that. One time you don't like that until it become something regular for him, to pray. Allahu a'lam. You guys here have any questions? Faddal.
Sometimes the masajid in the West, what they do, they collect donations from the Saudi Tour, for example, you sit there after the sermon or sometimes part of the sermon, there will be a box or a container passed from one person to another where you want to give some donation or they're asking for some donation. What is it doing regarding that? Passing, or rather than leaving a box on the side of the masjid, rather than someone carrying this box with them and taking the product to you?
Wallahi, look, the best thing is you donate where you are sure that it goes to where you want it to go. But just like that, anybody you meet in the street and you give, you don't know what these people are doing. It is found that people cheating and they collect for something maybe you like masjid or organization or like that, but you find them doing it and wrong purposes. So my advice is, if you know where they going to spend it to, no problem. If you don't know, better not to do it.
Going back to your earlier thing when you said that in some of the African countries, some of the
Yeah. Yani, what do you mean by not on the way of the Salaf? Are they of Ahlul Bidah?
They're Ikhwanis or they're Surus, they're Kutub, whoever they are, but they don't understand their manhaj is not on the way of the Salaf.
Okay, these are the people? Or, okay, what are the activities conducted in those masajid? Is it, yani, upon the Sunnah? Yani, do they teach the Tawheed and Sunnah?
They may have the Quran, but other than that, they may have circles from any person who will have certain understanding of Islam.
Wallahi, shuf, I go to the West regularly, and I know that there are many masajid who are really suffering, and they don't have enough contribution for paying the rent or paying the debt of the masjid. So instead of putting you in this dilemma, why don't you just go to the masajid which are upon the proper way of the Salaf and donate there. But if you don't have any masajid like this, donate even for this. Don't stop. And the sin is on them. The sin of their opposing the Sunnah is on them, not on you.
What about when you donate to the masjid? They're using your donation to increase upon their bid'ah. Or upon their take, you're contributing something towards their deviation.
Sahih, but now, as we said, you have to think of the maslaha, and which is more maslaha and more mafsada. Now this masjid have some violations, maybe in their khutbah or in their teachings, but it's still a masjid where people can pray. But the one who is leading the prayer or teaching, his bid'ah is not does not reach the bid'ah of kufr. Yet we do not courage. But as I said, if you don't find any Salafi place to put your donations, what do you do? Hold back? That's not good. Give to these ones and try to advise them. And usually, if you contribute goodly, sincerely, Allah Ta'ala will put acceptance in their heart to your word. Do your best to correct them instead of staying away from them, and do not even help them, do not help them to correct themselves, do not help them even to change what they are upon. That's not good. I hear if a person has sent their zakat to the maj at the time of the difficulties, they were experiencing, is their zakah accepted? Of course, this is one of the best places to give zakah and sadaqah to. Dar al Hadith in the Maj, first of all, it is a dar for hadith, a place for teaching the hadith and aqidah and sunnah, and at the same time, they are being oppressed. So it is, and being blockaded by the Rafidah there. So it is good to not only give the zakah, the obligatory zakah, but even to donate. This one of the good places. One of the good places to put your money in. And wherever you are sure, like now the aid in Syria, if you are sure that it goes to the right people, then donate. Then donate. But if you are not sure, and there are other places where you are sure that these are good places, then put it in those places. Another question from the ground? Naam. To the what? That's different. Allah Ta'ala yani mentioned there that foolish people who waste it. They don't know what to do with it. Not, but now you are donating to the masjid. Can I ask a question, please? When you started practicing, were you Salafi? Did you know Salafiya? Let me tell you myself. I wasn't. I wasn't. If you were, I wasn't. And let take it from me, 90%, if it is not more, of the Salafis were not. Where did they start practicing? In these places. And then, with their sincerity, Allah Ta'ala guided them. Now, if we do not donate at all, and these places in London close down to one or two Salafi masajid, where are the Muslims going to go to? Where are the Muslims? That's why we say donate and do your duty. Go and advise them nicely, not like what some brothers do. You are mubtadi'a, you are, nobody will accept. But let us work on the proper way. If Allah Ta'ala said from the zakah, the obligatory zakah, the kafir can be given if we either find him close to accept Islam or his harm is much to Islam and Muslims. Then we give him from the obligatory zakah. So what about our Muslim brothers? They are not kuffar. They are not kuffar. They are Muslims. They are wrong. 100% they are wrong. But they are not kuffar. So we still need to help them exist and correct themselves. We need them to be corrected. We need them to be corrected. You know? So if we don't give, as I said, if you know a Salafi place, then put all your donations there. But if you don't know, if you don't know, you just keep your money to yourself? Ah, that's not correct. Not correct. And if you know that, okay, there is this Salafi masjid, and that is not Salafi masjid. The Salafi masjid is finding, mashallah, at least enough to stand. But the one who is, for example, Ikhwani, but not up on the bid'ah, which is kufr. And take my word, please, do not twist it or manipulate it or take it as I say, because lots of our brothers love to play with words. They love, because they love fitna. So I say, if you know that this Salafi masjid is alhamdulillah finding some sufficiency, now you go to the other masjid which is not Salafi but not Abul Kufr or Shirk, but they are not Salafis. They don't give much care about, for example, the manhaj. The manhaj. So you go to them and say, Akhwan, this is a sadaqah from me. Don't just give it hidden, because they don't know from you who. Let it be a method of changing. You tell them, inform them that I bring you this. Even if you collect it from people, don't say that we collected But you say this sadaqah is from us, the Salafis, or from me. But ya ikhwan, as you take the charity from us, take the advice from us. We want to help you both ways. Listen, wallahi ya akhi, in many cases it worked. But when it doesn't work, then you have done your best. You have done your best and you have given the proofs and evidences against them. Wallahu alam. We take one from the net here. Another question, if a person born Muslim was not practicing and now does, how can she make up for the prayers not done in the past? There are two different opinions in this. Some of our ilm who say that abandoning salah is kufr, they say like this person does not need to make up if he never prayed, because he was out of Islam according to them. The others who say that it is not, as long as he still have the iman in his heart, but he was short in praying like that. These ones say that he has to figure out how many prayers he missed, and how many years he did not pray, multiply it by the days or number of days in the year, multiply it by the 5-10 prayers, subtract the days of menses, like that. Then, even if it is not 100% accurate, but do your best to know what it is, and then you start making them. And you make them not dhuhr with dhuhr, no. And any time you are free, you pray Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. In any time. Even in the times where it is forbidden to pray. Because this is not optional. This is obligatory prayers. What is forbidden? After Fajr until sunrise. Before Dhuhr until sun moves from the zenith. After Asr until Maghrib is the optional prayers. But the obligatory prayers, no. You have to do it once you remember them. So, do them in this way, Allah. Yes, you have to have that intention. Naam.
There was a question just related to the salah again. In England at the moment, the Maghrib and Isha salah is very late.
Naam.
And due to not feeling well, headache or very tiredness, and it's being very late, can one, and one struggles to stay up, especially for Isha, can they combine the salah as with those sort of constraints? Can they combine the salah?
And they should. Well, combining the salah is allowed whenever needed, when there is a need. As we said that in Sahih Bukhari, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, as I remember it's in Sahih Bukhari, said that Rasulullah sallam combined two prayers in Medina, Dhuhr and Asr, in Medina, without being in trouble, without rain. There was no rain, it wasn't raining, and he wasn't on trouble. People asked Ibn Abbas, why did he do that? He said he wanted to raise the harm from the Ummah. Now, if you, as you said, you have headache, you are very tired, yes, you can. But I think your question is not complete, because I was asked this question. Now, many masajid in the UK combine Isha to the time of Maghrib to give people chance to go and sleep, so because Fajr is also close, isn't it? I think Isha is about what, 11?
Isha is about
10:30. Huh?
Sometimes
yeah. And Fajr is about what, 3?
At the moment, yes.
Yeah, so they say for this short period for sleeping, we put Isha with Maghrib. We say constantly in a masjid, this is not allowed. This is not allowed. And who thinks that Jannah is easy to reach? That's wrong. That's wrong. The prayers is difficulty, Hajj is difficulty, fasting is difficulty, Sadaqah is difficulty. All these are difficulties. Who said that the Jannah is surrounded with ease? No. Jannah is surrounded with difficulties. The fire is surrounded with ease. We have to struggle. We have to struggle. Allah Ta'ala told the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as in Surah Al-Muzammil, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And then Allah Ta'ala told him, إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا. Daytime you can sleep. And guess, يعني, look at this. يعني, I told him, they said that they got fatwa from some ulama here. I said, you guys are cheating the ulama and you just want a fatwa that fits your own desire. Because you tell the alim, oh, Fajr, this, 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 but you don't tell him the truth that you don't go to work until 8 or 9. So you can go pray Fajr and come back sleep. You still have nearly about 4 hours to sleep. What's wrong with that? No, we want to continue sleeping at night. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. And then even they do it even on the weekends. Like, okay, weekends, why you are doing it? You don't have work tomorrow. You know? It become a phenomenon now, especially in the UK. Become a phenomenon now. And I don't know why the Westerners always like phenomena. Every other year, you see something new coming. Something new coming. I don't know why. No, akhi, we always should ask how Rasulullah ﷺ performed this worship. Any worship. We don't ask for just ease now. We want to do it the way Rasulullah ﷺ done it, the way the Sahaba done it, as best as we can. As best as we can. We cannot do it like them, of course. But, yeah, let's struggle. They want the Jannah without any struggle. That's wrong. Now, Allah. I did not see Paltok. Oh, Paltok, many people raised it. I have already said. Abu Shai Sebriz, here. Assalamu alaikum. May Allah preserve you. Ameen. My question. My question is, if a masjid asks for donations and says, buy a brick for the masjid, and that's all I can offer, does that good, does that good deed last after I die? Yes, of course. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever builds a masjid, even if it is as big as the nest of a bird, Allah Ta'ala will build a palace for him in the Jannah. Even if it is a brick. Even if it is a brick. The other question he says, because we left them for long, we'll take Assalamu alaikum. I have a stepson that my husband and before Islam. Is he a mahram for my daughter? If he is a legitimate son, then yes, he's a mahram for your daughter. But if he is out of zina or what they call it, what do you call it? Yeah, but it has a name. Social marriage. They call it social marriage. That's not a mahram because he's out of zina. Even according to the church, which is corrupted, but still, that is zina. That is zina. So this type of child, no, he's not a mahram for you, nor for your daughter. Even you. You may say that I'm a wife of his father. No, that's his, that is not his father. That is not considered his father in Islam. That's why he cannot say to that man's sisters or mother or wives or daughters. And he cannot inherit from that man, and that man cannot inherit from him because he is an illegitimate child. Someone say this is an oppression to this child. No, it's not an oppression. Islam says to give much care to this child by the community. Considered like an orphan. But to stop this crime, Islam said that this child is illegitimate and he only can take the name of his mother, meaning he will be called Muhammad, son of Fatima, not son of Ahmad or Ali or son of Fatima. Imagine now everyone hears, oh, he's son of Fatima. Why? Where is your father? He has no father. Why? Because his mother is bad. Even if she repented, this ruling will continue. This ruling will continue. And this is a very important way to stop this crime. To stop this crime. Naam, Allah alam. Naam. Ya, naam. That's first of all, that's a bid'ah. The second thing, these people misunderstood. They thought that Bilal was going, you know, through the rows of the women. That is khutbatul Eid. Khutbatul Eid is not obligatory to stay and listen. Jum'ah is different. And I found much more things. And I mentioned that to the brothers in the UK especially. The Jum'ah, you see some brothers standing directing the people to the rows or by the car park, or they miss their Jum'ah. They miss their Jum'ah. And they consider that they are taking more reward than everyone in the masjid. No, they are not taking the reward of Jum'ah. They are being rewarded for helping people, but this is wrong. Many things there yani happen wrongly. Now, Allah, here is a question, says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Is it recommended to do everything in odd numbers? No, it is not recommended. Not everything, but everything that the Prophet ﷺ said to be done in odd number. But not everything. As you know that prayers you cannot do in odd number except two prayers. Maghrib and Witr. That's it. You cannot do any optional prayer in odd number. No. Now, tafadhal.
Coming back to the need of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when the son of Adam died, everything was stopped except in things.
No.
Now, isn't it the same thing with the reward? That is the opposite of it.
Yes. Yes, of course. من دل على هدى فله أجر وأجر من عمل بها إلى يوم القيامة لا ينقص من أجور شيء. ومن دل على ضلال عليه وزره ووزر من عمل بها إلى يوم القيامة لا ينقص من أوزارهم شيء. He whoever guides to a guidance, he'll be rewarded for it, and same reward that everyone does it until the day of resurrection, and this would not reduce anything of the reward of those people. And anybody who guides to a misguidance, then he will be given a sin of it, the sin of it, and a sin like anyone who does it without decreasing the sin of those who are doing it or committing it. No. طيب, here is another question from Hanifa, says, in some European countries, there are only mixed schools, universities, and colleges. Jazakallah khair. This is good hope. You say in some. I don't know anywhere in Europe that they are segregated, especially in the universities. Universities? Name one. Even if it is Catholics, we don't want a Muslim girl to go to a Catholic university. We don't want them. We are fighting for Ghana's high school because they forced them on Saturday to go to the church. Should we send our children to the Catholic schools or universities? What are they going to be then? You know?
Schools used to be.
Used to be even now. What I know in America, there are now some schools who started segregating, not Muslims, but they found that the students get better when they are segregated. And I saw a report on that. They said that when they are mixed, the boy think of the girl and the girl think of the boy, and no one listen to the teacher.
In England at the moment, nearly every single grammar school, which is the best school in Derby, as well as in near Coventry, as well as just outside England, outside London, they are single-sex grammar schools. Very high. They're the top schools in England, and they're only single-sex. Only girls, only boys.
That's good. That's good.
The high school,
university. Says here, what is the ruling for the Muslims who live there? Well, the Muslim should fear Allah. The problem is, we are people who always say that we trust Allah the most. But on the practical field, we see this all only, you know, claims. Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Talaq, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ يَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. He who fears Allah, then Allah Ta'ala will provide him sustenance from ways that he never thought of. And I said, as in Gambia, in the university, I told them, you guys think that you can't live except with a degree. And I asked them, do you have rich people in Gambia? They said, yes, very rich people. I said, what degree do they have? They say, no degree. How did they become rich? It's Allah. It's not because they are clever. You might be more clever. He, this rich man, who has even maybe illiterate, this man hires in his company professors. Professors to come and put the plans and run the... But he is rich and they are poor. And online also, you can do the online. Yeah. For both, if it is remixed, we tell the Muslim man and woman, do not go there. Because what you're doing is, you are disobeying Allah. Displeasing Allah, while asking Him sustenance. How come that be? إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Verily, the mercy of Allah is close to those good doers. And sustenance is from the mercy of Allah. So how come you want the mercy of Allah to be close from you when you are wrongdoer, not good doer? That sounds, that sounds like the claim of the Yahud. They say, نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُهُ. We are the children of Allah and we are the most beloved by Allah. They said, no one will enter the Jannah except the Yahud or Nasara. They said, and then at the same time, they show all this and disrespect Allah. They say, Allah is poor and we are rich. How come that? And Allah Ta'ala blamed them for that and cursed them for that. So how come we come today and do similar to the Yahud? Now we have to be careful of that. Another question. Never been to England. They mean never been to England. Okay, tell me. He's been only to the... He's been out of Saudi Arabia to the States for treatment.
Now they asked him and he said, taking your kids to the classroom is like taking your children, my hand, to a guillotine.
Yeah, sorry. That's right. You are slaughtering him. Here's the question from... Was it? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. I did not fast some days last Ramadan for fear of the baby. Then I tried to fast and stop for fear for myself. I'm making up some of the days. when it was for fear of the baby. And also I want to feed the poor for the days I did not fast for fear of myself. Is this correct? We spoke about this last week, as I remember. We said that there are two opinions of the scholars. One, as Ibn Umar and Anas radiallahu anhu said, that this is permission that Rasulullah gave to the pregnant woman and the breastfeeding woman to break fast and feed a needy for each day. That's all what she needs to do. The other opinion says, no, if you fear for yourself, then you have to fast and so you have to fast only. If you fear for your baby, you have to fast and feed. But honestly, I did not see any strong proof for that. So my opinion is, or what I select is the opinion that says that only feed a needy for each day, and that's it. Allah Allah. Another question also, can I feed poor non-Muslims? La, it must be poor Muslims. The kafara, you can feed poor non-Muslim, but as a sadaqah, general sadaqah. And but the kafara, the makeup must be for Muslims. Freeing, if a kafara is freeing a slave, must be a slave who is Muslim. If it is feeding, it must be poor who is Muslim. Okay. Originally, as the Prophet ﷺ said, sa' or half sa', and this is not cooked, uncooked. But if you want to cook it and serve it, no problem. But it must be a meal. A meal. Don't give just some little, like some people, 1/4 of chicken, 1 handful of rice, and they say it's a meal. That's not a meal. Meal is a meal that you eat. Meal that you eat and accept as a meal. No. See, تفضل.
Back to. You mentioned the first annulment that happened in Islam.
No.
It's the Muslim
Shukr. Oba.
Would we consider Bir Zamzam as the first annulment?
Bir Zamzam?
Yeah.
Who did it?
Huh?
Who did it? Who made it?
Hajar.
La, she said, you pay me.
You
say, stay and pay me. And we said, we mentioned that. And one time that after she was feeling alone, now Allah gave her ability to say, she could be half taken as a slave, but she said, you pay me. As a queen. As Allah Ta'ala gave her as a bride. Now, there is a question from Paltok, says, how you deal with a family member who has put magic on you and you know that they have did it for sure? They are also, they are 16 of age, plus they are no Muslims. What should be done? What should be done is, you should first of all get the protection before it is done to you or to any member. Protection is by reciting Surah Al-Baqarah constantly, especially in the house. And if you can memorize it, that's good. By the adhkar, the remembrance of day and night, going to sleep or waking like that, adhkar. By eating 7 dates of Ajwa, dates from Medina. As the Prophet ﷺ said, who eats it, the magic cannot work on him. If you're already suffering, then you do ruqya on yourself, or you can ask someone to do ruqya on you with the Quran and the proper hadith and like that. That's all what you can do. And by dua. And by dua. Assalamu alaikum. What is the ruling on condition upon a woman living with regards to correct hijab? Living with whom? She did not say. Living with regards to hijab, and also the condition on working in the West, and type of working is which is permissible for her. The only permissible working for a Muslim woman is in a climate which is not free mixing. If you are not free mixed, working only with women, that is allowed. Or work home, and if you have your own shop, no problem to have your own business, your own business that you run. Even if a man comes and buy from you, no problem, but you be in your hijab. But to work as an employee, as a worker, in a free mixing, no, you don't do that. You don't do that. Wallahu a'lam. Taib, any question from here?
Yeah.
No.
No. Is it better to give your money to other countries?
Yes. No problem to give it to other countries.
Send it to families, some other...
Yes. If you don't know any local Muslim, poor Muslims, then you can send it to any Muslim country where you know there are poor people.
And say for like Eid, Ramadan, they sometimes put the rice. Masha, there's too much rice, so they don't know what to do.
They can send it.
No,
it is better in this case, it is better that people pay the money to the masjid. Pay the money to the masjid. And the masjid on their behalf, contact someone on that Muslim country and send the money to them and ask them not to distribute money to the poor, but to buy rice and spread it. Because if we give the rice to the masjid, it's another difficulty, another harm to send it. Maybe they cannot even send it. It's difficult. It's a cost now. It's over cost. In this case, I suggest that the masjid collect money. What we do usually, we contact, for example, Yemen or Ghana or Pakistan and ask them, what is the price for Zakat al-Fitr now? 3 kg of rice. They say, for example, maybe here it costs 15 riyals. Maybe there costs only 2, 3 riyals or 5 riyals maximum. So we ask people for 5 riyals. Maybe we take 1 riyal, the charge of transfer, extra, and we tell people, we should tell the people. And then send it to that country, even before, not after Eid, but we say, Ya Ikhwan, last day we accept is, for example, 29th. By sunset, for example, and then we take it and go transfer it immediately to them, so they in that night they can go and buy the or 28 like that, 27, because you give them some time to spread it. Allah.
What about the sacrifice, like sheep, for example, like you have a baby, or you want to make the sheep?
That is easier. Now this is aqiqah. You mean the aqiqah? Okay, the aqiqah is not necessarily to be given to the poor. Aqiqah, the purpose of it is to slaughter as a thankfulness of your Lord, for your Lord that He gave you this child. So no problem to have it in your fridge and eat it, you and your family all time. You can't even cut it in three. Divide it in three pieces and give one third to the poor, one third to your friends, one third for your family. You can cook it and invite whoever. And
okay, what about the people? They just want to send the money to other countries.
No problem.
Okay,
but you send it, making sure that those people in that country buys a goat and slaughters it. Maybe they go and buy a cow of 2-3, and they take 2-3 aqiqah from others, or you send two, they say instead of buying two sheep, we buy one cow. You say, no, this is not correct. So you have to make sure that this to be spent the proper way. Eid al-Fitr. No, it's not from this. Yeah, it's up to you. You want to, but that the sacrifice is in Eid al-Adha in the Hajj.
Okay, so people that didn't want to send the money to.
No problem. With the same condition, make sure that they are going to slaughter.
Some people. There's two parts of this question. Some people regarding Eid al, for example, Akika, as the brother mentioned, they prefer to send the money where someone who is living near Makkah, they want to slaughter a sheep near Makkah with the intention of getting more ajr. What do you say about that?
Well,
rather than doing it in themselves in the West or wherever they are.
That is good also.
But with the intention of he may get more reward.
Yeah, sahih. It is more reward. In Makkah, it is more reward.
Within the haram boundary.
Yeah, the haram boundary. This is more reward. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ brought 100 heads of camels and slaughtered them in Mecca.
That has to do with
Hajj. Hajj. And is it the Hajj sacrifice 100 camels for one man?
But this is Akika. This is when you slaughter not for.
No, I'm asking you. You think that the Hadi of a Hajj, one person, 100 heads of camels? No. And he ﷺ sent Ali to Yemen and brought the camels from Yemen. It's difficulty. But this is he could have slaughtered them there in Yemen. But it is because in Mecca, more reward.
So if someone is from, if you go back to the same thing as you just said, the second part of the question, if someone is in England, they want to do Udhiyah, can they do in the haram?
They can, yes. Especially in the West, because in the West you are not going to slaughter, no way.
Even if they can. If there are some to say if they can.
You can in some farms hidden.
That way, but is it better? Yeah. Would they get more ajr?
Now the slaughtering is big business. You can find it very easy. Yourself.
Maybe in America, but in UK, no. It's difficult.
So in.
In the UK, it is difficult.
So they will get more ajr if they.
But it is all hidden, even in the USA. If they found them. They allow you to do so. In the UK, as my experience, no.
There's few is places it? In the UK, there is.
In the slaughtering house?
Yes, in the slaughtering house.
They allow you to go and cut
it? Yes, because of your money. Yes.
It depends where you go. You hold your hand, you do Muhammad. Related to this.
Can I just say, so going back to the question, I just want to reconfirm, would the person get more ajr if he does right here in Makkah, because there has been some fatwa given. Wherever you are, you give the udhiyah wherever you are. Not phoning Brother Yassin, you in Makkah, slaughter my sheep for me over there.
There are different opinions. These are of the opinions of ijtihad. Ijtihad. Now, if they can do the udhiyah or zakat al-fitr and where they are, of course this is the best. Why? Because the purpose of udhiyah and zakat al-fitr is to show the others that we are cooperating. We donate to each other. And this must be open. And instead of collecting money, it must be yani rice or whatsoever, you know. And also slaughtering. Must be open. So people can see. Now, but if one cannot do it there, then it is better to send it to where it is more needed. And this is one opinion of many scholars. Of many scholars. They say where it is needed is much more reward than where it is not.
You know, you mentioned the 100 camels. That was the hadi. That was not udhiyah.
Akhi, hadi is not 100 camels for one person.
No, it's not for one person.
He did it only for him.
So someone from England, there's two, the way it's done in England, you can go to slaughterhouse with difficulties, number one, only minority can do, only few. Second, you can go to your local butchers and give them
So the important thing is that to do the udhiyah. Where to do it is second level. It's not that really to struggle and fight for it. La, the important is you give out the udhiyah. Now you give it in Mecca, you give it in Ghana, you give it in Yemen, in Pakistan, no problem. No problem. But the important thing is to do it. If it is possible for you to do it where you are, and for the same purpose that people can see that it is done, not just hidden and scared, and if you are caught, you are going to be in problem and taken to court, and in this case, no, we say na akhi, don't be dishonored, and put it in where it,
what's the final thing regarding that?
And as I said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why I said in Mecca, of course where it is needed is better, but in Mecca is much better. And when you do it, when you do it in Mecca with the Islamic Bank, it's much more better, because first they slaughter it in Mecca, and then they give to the poor people in Mecca, and what is extra, they send it to wherever in the world needed.
Going back to my thing, as you know, I slaughter during Hajj time. I have 600 goats. I speak of myself, I have camels. Sometimes I get calls from England. Can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? So I have waiver of the shall I accept or shall I not? Because I slaughter by my hand. And I work with the Islamic Bank. We distribute as well as local Burmese community. Now, with you saying this year probably I will accept. Now, the price I charge, is that the price of London or the price in here?
No, the price in here.
The price in here that I will charge them. Whatever it is, of the sheep, sometimes more expensive here. Of the sheep, of the camel, of whatever it is, I charge here and I distribute.
No.
And the final thing, sometimes, which I never used to do, until last year I was discussing with someone, regarding the name, they will phone me from wherever, from Riyadh, and they will say, Brother Yasin, 7 names on this camel. I used to separate the intention with Allah and our class. Sometimes they will say, no, I'm going to recite the names, and this is impossible. How?
Oh, so you are a businessman. You tell them this is impossible, I can't do it, find someone else. That's it. It is better to cut with your own hand, but it is okay to let anyone cut. No problem. Of course, more. Of course, more. No, some call the aqiqa nasika as well. No problem. Sahih. Some of al-ilm say the word aqiqa is not good because it used to be used in the jahiliyyah time for a meaning. But this is not correct. But this is not.
No. I'm not trying to be funny, actually.
Stop. La. No, what is what is said, you don't kill any animal. Those animals which harmless.
Okay.
Harmless.
Like even a tree?
Even a tree, but the tree which is needed or which is needed to be removed, you remove it. Umar radiallahu anhu removed the tree from the tawaf. It was in the tawaf that obstructed the movement of tawaf. He cut it and then he spent sadaqah instead. If you need, no problem. But if you don't need, no problem, but you give sadaqah instead. If you don't need, no. No. As I said, harmless animals. But like cockroach or mosquito or mice or snake.
Mosquito for sure.
Not mosquito for sure. What is for sure is the mouse, snake, crow, wild dog, a scorpion. This for sure. Other than that, any harmful insect or animal, yes, you can, if needed. I forgot to ask, should we stay away from that family member? Of course, that family member, the non-Muslim family who makes sihr or does sihr against you, of course you need to stay away. That's not a question. Of course, first of all, non-Muslim, second, practicing sihr. What makes you, even if he's a Muslim, as he calls himself Muslim, of course, when he practices sihr, is out of Islam. But if he calls himself Muslim, and you know sure that he makes sihr, then you should not stay with him, because he's going to harm you. Wallahu a'lam, wa sallallahu sallam, mubarak, ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Jazakumullah khair, and see you inshallah in 3 weeks' time, inshallah. No, will be three weeks' time. Yani, inshallah, I'll be back to Jeddah on the 2nd of July. But we're going to be on N for All, on Pal Talk, N for All room. And we're going to be also on Wizik, same thing, on N for All classroom, inshallah. Wallahu a'lam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.